It's my job to set the stage on the physiography and the hydrology of the Susquehanna River Basin in advance of our speakers for the rest of the afternoon. So we'll start out with some imagery here, satellite imagery, and I'll be talking a lot about the Susquehanna River Basin, but as the previous speakers, the Chesapeake Bay is the body of interest, so we'll talk also about the coastal plain and as it influences. There are approximately a dozen small rivers feeding in to the Chesapeake Bay. Just to orient you into the color pattern on this imagery, this is a spring photo, and so you see a lot of bare ground with the light browns. The dark brown along the riparian efforts, riparian zones, those are the forested areas, the dark brown such as on the western shore there, that's riparian. So we are here, and we will zoom into the east coast there on the Chesapeake Bay, and we'll fly you up the Susquehanna River. There's some wetlands in that blue region right there. They're important areas adjacent to the bay. Of course, as you've heard from previous speakers, it's the largest estuary in North America, so it grades from full marine to brackish water to freshwater and tidally influenced rivers that drain into the Chesapeake Bay. Going up into the Susquehanna then, this is quickly into Pennsylvania and Piedmont with Lancaster County off to the east. Moving to the north end of Piedmont, passing Harrisburg there, capital of Pennsylvania, and moving into Ridge and Valley Province, you see that the river cuts through the ridges, which indicates that the river predates the tectonic activity of the folding and faulting that produced the Valley and Ridge Province. Now we're north of Valley and Ridge, going into Allegheny Plateau, and the river splits with the east branch and then the north branch that runs on up to the southern part of New York with into the Elmira and Corning area. Well, we can move on. There we go. Okay, there's a shot of the Susquehanna River in central Pennsylvania. It's characteristically very wide and shallow. Here you see the pattern, the drainage patterns, and here in the valley and ridge it reflects the bedrock control of the drainage pattern, whereas up in the Allegheny Plateau you see a more dendritic type of a drainage pattern. A little bit about geology as we go along, but most importantly I want to point out these are coal mining regions on the east side of the watershed in central Pennsylvania, and also on the west side in Pennsylvania are coal mining areas. A little look at water use in the Susquehanna River Basin by sub-basins, and you'll note that down here near the mouth of the Susquehanna you have a high proportion of the water use that goes to public water supply. Over here in the western part of the watershed, the Juniata, there's a high proportion that goes into industry. Here in the middle Susquehanna and the west branch Susquehanna, you see large proportion that goes to power generation. However, overall, there's drainage is 21 inches per year. That's about half of the annual precipitation. And these uses typically amount to less than 5% of the average annual flow. So most of the water moves all the way down into the bay. Looking at water quality impairments at a stream level, notice that acid mine drainage in red here, characterized by heavy metal loads and low pHs in the streams, occur coincident with the mining activities, the coal mining activities in both the western part of the watershed as well as the eastern part of the watershed. And the other causes of impairments are primarily nutrients and sediments. Organic chemicals and pesticides is relatively minor. But you can see where the nutrients and sediments occur in relation to agriculture. And so we'll be talking primarily about the nutrients impairments from here on, as it, primarily because that's the main, you know, impact to the Chesapeake Bay, as we heard previously. So I've organized my comments around the major land resource areas, and then from south to north we have the coastal plain, northern Piedmont, Ridge and Valley Province, and Allegheny Plateau. Looking first at land use, looking at the west side, west shore and coastal plain areas, development is the big land use, and forest, agriculture being relatively minor. Where you go to eastern shore, it's dominantly agriculture. And then going up into the Piedmont, again, it's development and agriculture. And then getting into Valley and Ridge and Allegheny Plateau, there's a large proportion of forested parts of the landscape and land use up there in the Allegheny Plateau. A look at some statistics from National Ag Statistics on annual pea balance at the farm gate. And I guess we could consider that the green colors are relatively in balance, but we're out of balance with respect to pea imports versus exports, with excess pea accumulating at the farm gate and building up in the soils. And it's characteristic of the eastern shore and most of this area up into the lower part of the Susquehanna drainage basin, very similar to what you saw in Tom's presentation. Starting with the eastern shore, this is primarily used for corn and soybean rotation, but again, it's the poultry industry that's the source of the nutrients that has overloaded some of the soils in this area. And I want to point out that this is a ditch-drained agriculture. Here's an agriculture ditch draining back into a public drainage ditch system that flows into the Monocan River at this point. So we were about mean average, about 9 feet above mean average seed level in the previous slide. So very low-lying topography, slow-moving rivers and streams draining this area. The soils tend to have loamy surfaces to about 50 centimeters or 70 centimeters, and then you get down into some medium to coarse sands. And so that allows the infiltration, and most of the water infiltrates into the soil and then moves laterally to the ditch. So this is sort of a ditch scale diagram. 20 to 60% of the precipitation moves through the ditches to get into the rivers that drain the area. Surface runoff is less than 15% of ditch flow. That means most of it is moving down and then laterally. Looking at this study in the German branch of the chop tank, note the scale here, 5 kilometers. If you're more than about 3 kilometers away from the drainage channel, then the residence time or groundwater travel time is in units of decades, you know, as much as 100 years. So if you stopped all nitrogen application, for example, you could expect decades before that would entirely move through and then out of the system. Moving up into the Piedmont, this is Lancaster County that was mentioned. I believe they pronounce it Lancaster. And this is the highest agricultural receipts east of the Mississippi River. Here's the development issue, sprawl coming out of the Philadelphia area. And then the agriculture is typified in this area predominantly by Amish agriculture, where as the family grows and the land base is pretty much static or shrinking for agricultural land base, it's intensified in terms of animal agriculture to increase receipts off the fixed land base. Most of the agriculture occurs over some of the sedimentary rocks and these types of landscapes, gently rolling. The soils are typically deep and loamy, and if they're limed well, then they're very productive. 91% of the water that's withdrawn from this area is from surface water sources. The sandstone, siltstone, and shale bedrock aquifers and some alluvial aquifers are important sources in the agricultural areas, but the water in the igneous and metamorphic regions to the east occurs only in the joints and fractures and cleavage planes. The agriculture is mostly over the sedimentary rock. Moving up into the valley and ridge and looking at soil phosphorus, again, you see that we have a high and very high phosphorus levels in most of the soils in the valley and ridge due to agriculture. That's on the basis of agricultural land use. We do have some areas in the valley and ridge that's characterized by limestone in the valleys, and we have some karst topography and water that moves down directly into underground caves and caverns. These are cherty limestone soils that are highly permeable and easy conduits of surface water down into these underground aquifers in the limestone caves. But there are other areas in the absence of limestone. The bedrock tends to be highly fractured. In at least the upper 30 feet or more of the bedrock is highly fractured, and water that enters that fractured layer and then moves through the fractured layer can move in a matter of months, whereas the water that gets down into the deeper cracks and joints and bedding planes in the sedimentary rocks can take years before it actually moves out into the streams and into the drainage. We've done some work on near-surface hydrology in the valley and ridge, so I'll introduce the term of variable source hydrology. And in the valley bottoms here, they're characterized with the presence of colluvium, and this colluvium is periglacial type activity that accumulated down in the bottom of the valley bottoms here, and the streams typically flow on top of this colluvium. And looking at this landscape picture, the stream is down here, and the soils on either side have fragipans down close to the stream, and up on the side slopes, those soils are directly over that fractured bedrock. So that fragipan is very important to what happens with the runoff. This is the extent of surface saturation that was mapped out using GPS. And now we're moving into the summer, and so we map the wet areas of the soil surface, and you see that it occurs right down next to the stream. Coming into November, it's going to wet up again, we get more rains, and these are the areas where we've observed and measured runoff, so it's a saturation excess type of runoff generation. And I'll pause that story right there and go on up into the Allegheny Plateau, which has a similar type near-surface hydrology as it relates to nutrient management. Typically, the land use up there is predominantly dairy. And a lot of times, this farm's kind of up on the side of the hill, but a lot of times they're right down near the stream. But certainly the agriculture is confined to the valley bottoms, and the side slopes are typically forested. So here's the landforms that are typical of the Allegheny Plateau. And the soils typically are shallow to either bedrock, fragipan, or dense glacial till. So unlike the valley and ridge, where the fragipan occurs only next to the stream, we typically have these shallow soils all the way up the side slope. Again, it becomes an issue of saturation excess. So I'll credit some work done at Cornell University. And we've struggled a little bit understanding that we have our variable source area that drives runoff very close to our streams. And when we use the model such as SWOT, it gives us this kind of prediction of high P sources or runoff sources kind of on a field basis, when in fact we know that it occurs nearer than the streams. And so Cornell has adapted SWOT, and they have a variable source area version of SWOT now that does a better job of attributing runoff to near stream areas. And then that also translates into the source of dissolved P moving into runoff and does a better job of identifying these areas that actually contribute phosphorus to the stream. So in summary, in the coastal plain on the western shore, it's a story of development. On the eastern shore, it is developing, as well as has a vibrant chicken industry. It's ditch drainage, infiltration and lateral flow with a long groundwater residence time. In the Piedmont, again, urban pressure for development, intensive agriculture, thinking in terms of Amish-type agriculture. Valley and Ridge Province, it's coal mining as it affects stream quality locally. Agriculture is confined to the valleys, and variable source area controls variable source area type of runoff controlled by saturation excess, as well as karst in some regions. And then in the Allegheny Plateau, dairy operations in the narrow valleys, again, variable source area runoff close to the streams. So with that, I'll acknowledge, and we can, if we have time for questions.
Thanks a lot.